Blog Talk Radio.
And you are listening to the Pinckney Show, and I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. But before we get anything, we're going to be talking about Timothy Bulldog Allen today. But I want to talk about this invitation that I'm sending out over the air. It is our distinguished honor and privilege to invite you to the PGA on behalf of the NAACP and the Black Autonomy Network Community Organization and Stop the Takeover of Benton Harbor. The event is scheduled for May 23rd through the 27th. It's called Occupy the PGA in Benton Harbor, Michigan. That's the Senior PGA Golf Tournament. We are committed to escalating the Occupy movement to support human rights and housing, in addition to push back against bailouts for the fraudulent banks. They are still in our homes and they are still in our lives. Democracy is non-existent here in Benton Harbor and really around the country. Joseph Harris, the emergency manager, must go. With pride, he calls himself a dictator. The event will start May 23rd and last until May 27th. May 26th is that Saturday, and we're hoping people can come on that day, but we're going to kick it off on May 23rd. On May 23rd, we will do our death march. Everybody is welcome. We want everybody to come from all over the country. The 1% will be well represented. Let's make sure the 99% is represented. Let's make sure that you be there. If you can't do anything else, please come. And on that note, let's listen to little Martin Luther King.
So even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will they be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day down in Alabama with its vicious racists, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification, one day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted. Every hill and mountain shall be made low. The rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. This is the faith that I go back to the South with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. This will be the day. This will be the day when all of God's children will be able to sing with new meaning, "My country, tears of thee. Sweet land of liberty of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride. From every mountainside, let freedom ring. And if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. So let freedom ring. From the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire, let freedom ring. From the mighty mountains of New York, let freedom ring. From the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania, let freedom ring. From the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado, let freedom ring. From the crevaceous slopes of California. But not only that, let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi, from every mountainside. Let freedom ring. And when this happens, when we allow freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands.
Yes, you are listening to the Pinckney Show, and I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. Before we bring on our guest, I want to talk about Timothy Bulldog Allen. He was found floating in the St. Joseph River. Unfortunately, the last people to speak to him was two white cops from the city of St. Joe. He was found about 30 feet to 60 feet from where he last spoke to them. We have asked for an investigation. So far, we have received nothing. We are now in contact with the FBI. We want them to know that we're serious about what we're doing, because it's about Bulldog, but it's also about every community around in this country, because things happen every day like this. Here, they're still burning crosses here in the city of Benton Harbor. They're still hanging nooses in the city of Benton Harbor. But we did put out an email in reference to this, and we want people to spread the word. The media will not. They will not. I'm telling you like it is. Will not put it on TV. It was only on TV for a second. Let me read this. It's called Propaganda in the Media Outlet in Barron County. Our leaders in the field. If reporting was truthful and thorough, residents would have information that might provoke meaningful action in response to behavior of elected and other officials and the Whirlpool corporations. For example, tragedy has just occurred in Barron County. An African-American man turned up dead in the St. Joe River on Wednesday in St. Joe Township. There's no doubt for many that he was murdered, possibly by St. Joe Township police, or cops, as you may say, the last to see him alive. Many known Barron County Barron County has a history of African-American disappearing. It will remain largely unknown, but critical, important civil rights events, because WNDU-TV, WSTB-TV television report it like this. Paraphrase it. Timothy Allen was found dead in the St. Joe River. Foul play is not suspected. Now on to the gas prices. A man turned up dead in the river has a chilling effect on the community. We have had over 25 women, at least, to have disappeared from Benton Harbor maybe in the last two decades. Imagine how this impacts the hearts and souls of the community. But that's the point. Destroy Benton Harbor by any means necessary for redevelopment of the land. Think of the possibility of action and community outreach as media. On a daily basis, we'll give up full reporting. You know about journalism. You know about the corporate media. Whirlpool, disdain of American workers. Geographically isolated Benton Harbor has its livelihood withdrawn by Whirlpool Corporation. In place of job references, are now concerned with survival and avoiding police profiling their once thriving city. It's becoming a desperate existence of which most in Michigan are unaware. Whirlpool is proving itself to be hostile towards American workers as they continue to extract factories and thousands of jobs from places like Newark, Iowa, Evansville, Illinois, Fort Smith, Arkansas. Radio TV personality Ed Schultz has been naming the corporation of its crimes against American workers. And Whirlpool is one of the head, and they are here. Whirlpool exterminates a city. Whirlpool commits genocide. But on that note, I'm going to bring in my co-host, Ralph Porner. Ralph Porner, are you there?
I'm here, Reverend, and I'm listening to you, and I'm getting this sad news, and sad news all around. But on this New Year's Day, I would also like to point out the responsibility of progressive people that you are fulfilling. And we must understand that the struggle continues, the oppressor continues to oppress, but we must also understand that there are those of us who are of the oppressed people who are fighting back. And if I may, I would like to take a few seconds to talk about the successes of this program. You're mentioning Whirlpool. Well, you have had great success against Whirlpool. They have been demoted. Their credit rating has been taken. The boycott that you projected was effective. We must continue, but we must remember where it came from. We must also remember the contribution of Mary Neal weekly telling us, not begging or pleading, but telling us what is coming down the pike, what train is coming against us, and what we must do to stop it. This, you're telling us about the juggernaut of corporation, the Whirlpool, not only in terms of their productive power and taking away of jobs, but in terms of their program for taking away land and taking over cities. Your projection, I remember first hearing you when you spoke of fiscal emergency managers, how they were going to take our land across this country. You brought all of these things out, doing your job, and we must continue doing the job that that you're working on. And Mary Neal saying we must have organizations of power and support the people who support you. And when she made that call last week, if you want to go to church, go to Reverend Pinckney's church and tithe. Send the money to develop that organization that supports us. So in turn, we support you to support ourselves and to support our issues. We must always look at what's being done to us, but we must also let people understand and how we're fighting back. Your call for the 99%, and that was a very important thing, although a lot of people talk about, oh, it doesn't do anything. No, it makes people identify as to who they are, because for many, 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 many years, people identified with the wealthy people. And we know in our history, in the struggle of the Civil War, so many people fought to support a system so that they had nothing to do with. So many poor white people died in the fight to continue slavery. It didn't benefit them much in any way but a psychological lie to say that they were superior to somebody else due to their color. So This whole thing of identification is very important. So the 99% has taught people to identify with the workers. And I'll talk more about that later, but I say for the year 2011, I salute you, Reverend Pinckney, and the people you have gathered together to bring this message, to bring this education to all of your listeners. And I'll let it go with that, but I'd like to come back in a little bit and talk about my discussion with Lynn Stewart. I took, since I missed some time in the summer, to bring fresh produce and food to the inner city. I'm making up for it, and I've had two visits this month, and Lynn and I had long discussions on your program, your work, and the work that must be done, and I'd like to come back and talk about that later, but I say salute to you, Reverend. Keep it going, and with your kind of success, and if we listen to those you have on the program in terms of education, in terms of community control, in terms of the monies and the things that we must do, our communities will survive. Thank you again, Reverend.
Hey, and you know, Rap, I just want to say that this has been one of those weeks when even the people here, we had a visual on yesterday at 12 noon where we sent up balloons in honor of Timothy Bulldog Allen. And I'm telling the people, we had a pretty decent crowd, but it should have been five times that size. Because the problem is most people do not understand that this could happen to them. You see, they want to wait until something happens to them. Then they want you to drop everything you're doing and help them. It don't work that way. You know, they say even in time of peace, you prepare for war. And that's basically what I do. I don't sit around and wait until something happens. I'm trying to rally the troops now to let them understand that we got a real war here. How many people have to come up missing around here? And they've been women's been disappearing, I mean, for the last decade or so. You talking about over 25 young ladies is missing, and you never hear about it. You don't hear about people disappearing here, and nobody talks about it. How could you not talk about all these people disappearing? I mean, it's virtually impossible, but yet and still, we say nothing.
I want to talk about that a little later on in the program, and I'll wait for you to give me the clue to jump in and talk about how we got to this situation where all of these people can disappear and no one says or does anything about it. We are the sitting ducks in
Absolutely.
This American situation. But when you give me the clue, you set some time aside. I'm going to jump all over that because when you made that announcement that he was missing not 30 feet from where he was, my mind exploded. How did we get there? But I know we don't have time until you give me the signal, and I want to talk about how and why we are in that position.
Very good, Ralph. I'm going to bring on Roz just for a second, and then I'll come right back to you, and then we'll go to Mary. Roz, are you there?
Yes, I am.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. I'm sad by what's happened. I just think it's disgusting. But we all have to stand up together.
That's right.
And fight together and speak up. I was on the David Hernandez show here last night, and I said the same thing. We must get into the battle or we're not going to win.
Mm. And here's the thing, Roz, here too. We have had more than 25 women actually disappear from around here, and nobody ever talk about it. The media, nobody. The media did say one thing about Timothy Allen. It said he has been found, and it don't appear to be any foul play, and he's swimming in the river. And people to talk to him was police officers, and they saying now this is the only thing they saying. I mean, if it was on 30 seconds. It's a miracle. I'm telling you, I was there from 5 to 10 seconds and gone. About a man dying that's been missing for almost 60 days. I mean, I'm more upset about that, Roz, than anything else.
I know. It's absolutely disgusting. Have you tried the Attorney General of the United States, his office?
Well, I did talk to a guy who I know of. In the state attorney's office, I talked to him. He sent me to the state police. State police was, as they got an answering service now, so you can't get through to the state police. So they say leave a message and I'll get back with you. And that's been about 3 days and haven't got back with me yet. So it's probably the holiday season, so they won't get back with me until probably Tuesday or Wednesday. But that's just the way it goes.
Right, but there's lawyers, you know, that tried the cases here in Los Angeles and won against the police department.
Oh, well, absolutely. But here in the state of Michigan, we have to find the right ones. You're not going to find anybody from Barron County to go against the police department. You can forget that. I don't care if he shoots you 18 times in the head. You are not going to get an attorney to go against the police department and sue them. That's out. O-U-T.
But you need somebody who wants to make a name for themselves or a big-name lawyer.
I would like to find these young lawyers just getting out of college. I would like to work with them. That's who I would like to really recruit and be part of. Matter of fact, I'm going to start going to these law schools and seeing who's available, who's willing to take up the torch and run with it.
Right, and I wish you luck, and I've been praying for everybody. I wish everybody a wonderful and prosperous and healthy new year, and that we all have to be together, because even in my case with LA, Los Angeles Unified School District, the investigative report, they lied, one lie after another in the doctor's report, so we all have to speak up together.
That's right, Carl. We're all part of that 99%.
Right, we are, and this is 1% that's trying to destroy us and kill us.
Absolutely. And here's nothing, Roz. You know, even in your case, we have to stop them doctors, too.
Right.
Do you know that, you know, any time a doctor will sit down and falsify his report for the Board of Education so they can be comfortable, you know we got a problem.
Right, and this investigative report, a deposition's going to go on this doctor on Thursday morning.
Okay,
so
I want to hear the result. I want you to call me, and I want you, when you give your report, I want you to take your time. Don't rush your answer. Are they going to be quizzing you or the doctor?
Right, and I get to go, and I get to be quiet, and my lawyer will be asking him questions, and if he doesn't tell the truth, I can write little notes.
Very good. And I want you to take notes, period.
Don't write little notes.
You want to write big notes so you can be prepared in case he's lying.
Right, and then I've been reading all my reports, and I found the investigative report that went to the school district that said I had a pre-existing condition, and they lied. Lie after lie, including the principal at my school lied.
You mean the principal of the school who educated
the one
children
who
told a lie?
Harness, who didn't call the paramedics, who didn't get the room cleaned up, who didn't do anything to the boy that sprayed me, wanted him back in my classroom. She lied at the step one meeting when I grieved it. Her and the custodian said there was a nurse at school that day, and there wasn't. I was shocked that she did it because there are records.
And you know, we got some teachers listening from Chicago today. They told me that they will be listening, and I told them about your situation. I told them how the children had sprayed you with the – what kind of chemicals was that?
And from the ABC fire extinguisher in my face.
Mm.
And Charles, too, he was sprayed with a fire extinguisher at his school in Los Angeles.
Wow. I tell you, that is amazing. And when you think about it, you think about all the different things. It makes you wonder, don't it?
It does. That it could have been under glass. It wasn't under glass. They had to have it right by the door. Another student sprayed it the week before. But I have to wonder about the principal, Mrs. Charnas, who couldn't call the paramedics when I was gasping for air and gray, and my nose was closing, my tongue was swelling, my skin was burning up,
and left me. Wow. Yeah. Isn't that amazing when you think about it?
It is. It's terrible.
Wow.
Absolutely unconscionable. There is not another word for this. And now, since 2002, they said I had an act of violence, which meant physical injuries. They admitted to this. They have worked themselves silly to find all kinds of things that are not true.
Wow.
And they're writing it up the doctors.
And it's amazing when you think about some of the things that they do. And you know what? If the shoe was on the other foot, I wonder what would happen.
Right.
I wonder how they would feel.
And if
I wonder
it would have
how,
been a, sorry.
Yeah, I'm just wondering because I know how when you talk about upper management, how they deal with different things. And I know one thing because, like I said, I was part of that Chicago Mayor Daley, Senior Mayor Daley. I was part of his office, and I tell you, some of the lies that you heard was so incredible that nobody could believe what was going on.
Right. I was born in Chicago.
Oh, so would I.
Wow. At the Line Inn Hospital.
Yes. A matter of fact, I was born at home. I was born on Halsted Street. A matter of fact,
I don't know where
address
to...
was... Pardon?
I came to California when I was 2 years old with my parents.
Wow. Amazing.
Yeah, it is. And I went back, you know, and the military said, I want to see where I was born. So we went there once, years and years ago.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? I tell you, Chicago, I love me some Chicago. But you know what? That's why I'm connected with the teachers there. And we've been fighting and fighting, trying to get everything the way it's supposed to be. And they have some major issues, too. But they got the president of their union. I tell you this much, is something else. The president of their union, I'm telling you, that Karen Lewis, hey, if you can ever meet her, you're meeting a real fighter, a person that would throw down. But listen, you got about another minute. I want to bring on Mary. Then I want to get back to Ralph and say whatever your heart desire.
Okay. The teachers can contact me. That would be wonderful. My email address is rozywow@aol.com, rozywow@aol.com. And, yes, we're all suffering together, and we need to stand together and to fight this.
Absolutely.
And I pray for everyone in your audience. I do every night.
Hey, I appreciate that, too. And let me say this to you, Rob. I want you to tell the folks out there, I have talked to maybe 10, 15 people from L.A. in this past week, and they're very, very excited about me coming out there. But when I come out there, I want to make sure that we have a organized setting so I can talk to as many of the teachers as possible and the union members. That's my goal. What I want to do, I want to rally them together so they can get behind each other and stand up and fight this situation out there in L.A. And I'm planning on doing the same thing for Chicago, New York, wherever it might be, I'm planning on coming. And what we're going to do, we're going to teach people how to fight, how to stand up, especially teachers. Teachers don't know how to stand up and fight. So we're going to have to show them how to fight.
They're afraid.
So they're
intimidated. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
They're intimidated. They're harassed. They're afraid they're going to lose their job.
Absolutely.
I've never been afraid. Well, I don't work now since 2001. I'm so sick.
Right.
But they're just afraid. The union is not on their side. The union is in bed with LAUSD.
Absolutely. And,
yeah.
And the new guy Fletcher. He's. They're all part of it. But hey, but I can't wait to get out there. And on that note, I got to bring on Mary. Mary Neal, you there?
I am here, Reverend. Happy New Year.
Hey,
Happy
how you
New
doing?
Year.
All right.
Happy New Year. I want to thank you. I want to thank Mr. Ralph Pointer, and I learned so much from Ross. I want to thank you, Reverend, for all the year 2011, and way before I even knew about you and your struggle, you have been standing for the people, the white people, black people, Native Americans, Latinos, Asians, whoever is downtrodden. And that is the work of God. God said that such as you do unto one of the least of these, his brethren, you've done also directly to Jesus Christ. So people think that they can walk by their fellow man falling by the side of the road, whether they're in prison, whether they're mentally ill, whether they are down on their luck, whether they have become victim to this falling economic system. They think they can walk by that man or by that woman and go to church and take their tithes and offerings to church to build a bigger cathedral and they will be blessed when they see the Lord. The Lord will say to them, depart from me, I never knew you. I invite everyone to read Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46, to see what my Lord will have to say to you, hypocrites, on that final day. Because you walk by people all the time. You turn the radio down. You do not want to hear about the racism that is coming out of the present administration. I said you don't want to hear about the racism that is coming out of the present Washington administration. And it is coming. And the thing is that I am not impressed, and the Lord is not impressed with people's race, their sex, or any of that. None of that matters. What matters is whether or not you are doing right. And what is right? Right is to love ye one another as I have loved you. If you don't do that, then you are not doing what you were put here to do, and that is to glorify God. And he said, how can you love me who you've never seen? And mistreat your brother man who you do see. We have a family that's in mourning today, and that is the family of Timothy Bulldog Allen, another black man who died after police custody. Yes, he left the hospital. He left the hospital in the custody of, or after he left, he saw two officers. That is not disputed. And after over a month of his going missing, his body was found 30 feet from where he talked to those two officers. And we can surmise what happened, but we have a United States Department of Justice that's under supposedly a black man, Eric Holder, who probably will not order an investigation from Mr. Timothy Allen. Just as he did not order an investigation when Matrice Richardson, a beautiful young black woman who was bipolar, had just graduated from college, straight A's, a 4.0 average, and she was missing. She came up missing in 2009. They found her bones. She was arrested because she was having emotional problems. She was arrested because she acted kind of off at a restaurant there in California, in L.A. County, California. They arrested her. They say they released her after 1 o'clock in the morning. And that's the last anybody saw of her until they found her bones. We only have the police word for it that they released her.
That's
now,
right.
My brother was mentally ill. Mr. Allen, who is missing, was having brain issues. He was having seizures. This is what's happening. And what happens is they pick the weakest first. Yes, they pick the weakest first. But as white America is standing out, all of this stuff that used to happen primarily to black people as far as being sprayed in the face, like you saw those white students being sprayed in the face, as far as police brutality, as far as long-term unemployment, as far as losing your homes and possessions, now they started with the weak. And you didn't say anything. Many of you didn't say anything because that was a black issue. But now it's an American issue. It is an American issue. It is coming home to you. What's happening in Bing Harbor as far as a corporation more or less taking over the town? The city officials, the county officials being laid off by so they can institute a dictatorship. So that they can institute a dictatorship and say it's because of economic collapse of that area. Well, what causes the economic collapse? The thing is that they can give enough bailouts to these big corporations to cause an economic collapse and then use that very economic collapse that they created to take over your town. And so there are no elected officials, no duly elected officials. They've taken over that town. And that is a test case. What they've done to my family is a test case. It is to see how much will you stand by and say nothing. How well have we done at intimidating Americans? How big a nothings are they? How much will they take? And they are suppressing it. And so what's happening is Google was told to take down certain police brutality films. If you have police brutality films online at YouTube, make sure you have copies of them, because they ask Google to take those films down. Google refused to take those certain films down. And the next thing you know, Google was in under congressional investigation for antitrust violations, and they were getting sued left and right. See, what happened in these laws happened to Google, because what happens is anytime you go against the system, this new world order system all get together and come after you. It includes the federal government. It includes your local government. It includes major corporations. They come after you. They even went after Google. And Google won, as far as I understand it, all those small antitrust accusations that other companies brought against them, and they went into congressional hearings, and I think that turned out well for them, too. The problem was that they wouldn't take down police brutality videos. Why do they want them off the air? They want them off the air because the news already will not report that there's open season on black people right now in America. It's open season. Police killed 7 black men in 8 months in Florida just this year. This year, and I think the last part of last year. They killed my brother, secretly arrested a mentally ill man. I said secretly arrested him. Lied for 18 days and said that he was not there. He was not under arrest. But they would not yet look for this mentally ill heart patient. Wouldn't yet look for him because they already knew. He was right there in Memphis Shelby County Jail. They murdered him by undisclosed means. They will not even release any paperwork on why they killed him and how they killed him. And what Ms. Ross asked about the United States Department of Justice. The United States Department of Justice was already over that facility after many other abuses and probably some murders. And what the U.S. DOJ did was they helped Memphis Shelby County Jail file false records that omitted his arrest. Since we can't explain how we killed him except to say that we are dirty murderers, let's just not even mention his name whatsoever. So the U.S. DOJ accepted what it knew to be false reports, that when they gave the report of their inmates during that period, they omitted Larry Neal, the one they murdered. And I am greatly harassed to keep me from telling you about it. I have right now citizen phones in the homes around my area, probably put there by the government. I want you to know that they have 2 bills pending to take the internet away from Americans. So when they kill your relatives, when your friend is like Mr. Timothy Allen, we'll police and the next thing he's gone, you won't be able to use the internet. You won't be able to write to me and say, Mary, could you help us tell this? And I did tell about Mr. Allen. You can look online for blacks go missing in police custody. That is, blacks go missing in police custody. You can look for it online. But they want to take the internet from the average American, not just the black ones. They want nobody to be able to report the news that they've already arranged with mass media to hide. They want to take the internet under HR 3261. They said that would be the first order of business when Congress gets back in session after the holidays. It's taking your freedom of press, so that they will probably take down the videos of police brutality. They will take offline your websites where you tell news that they don't want. The independent news organizations, they need to be careful. They need to be trying to find another job, probably, because they don't want independent news. And what they're going to do is they're going to send COINTELPRO agents to lie and say you violated Intelligence Properties Act. They're going to claim falsely that they wrote your website information, that they wrote your articles. And then they're not going to give you a chance to answer, just like Ms. Ross found, that they're not really giving her an opportunity to respond to those allegations. They're going to claim your intelligence property as their own. That's one way they're going to do it. The second way they're going to do it is they're going to say that your website is something that's helping terrorists. Like if you have a website where you criticize all of this money that's going to war, saying they're fighting for human rights, and you know that we don't have human rights over here, they're going to say that that is subversive and mean they'll take down your website. So any holder who is allowing these people to get away with stalking me, harassing me, censoring me, and who is helping to hide my brother's murder, he and his successors will be in charge of what can be on the Internet if that bill passes. Also, I want y'all to know they got another bill that they're going to be talking about, and it's in, that's in, like the N word, DAA. And that is a bill that will be used to put any American, black, white, Latino, Asian, anyone, any American, any immigrant, any documented or undocumented citizen in jail, indefinite detention, and military facilities. In other words, if they need your labor over in jail in Somalia, there you go. If they need your labor, Reverend, at a work farm, there you go. If they
want Mary, remember this. They have already passed that bill, and the president has signed it.
When did he sign it?
He signed it before the year end. He just signed that bill.
This is what we have. That is something that has never been legal in America.
Absolutely.
That is something that only Hitler did. And that
Absolutely.
Was assigned people to indefinite military detention without any criminal charges and without any opportunity to defend your charges. This is where we are living.
Absolutely. Mary, I got to bring Ralph back on. Slow your roll. Just hang in there. Ralph, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, and I'm listening. And here we are, January 1, 2012, and we are repeating the same old problems.
Mm.
We are under the same old conditions. So therefore, we must examine our position on the rules of engagement of getting out of this oppressive situation we are in, or the laws of existence that we are all subject to. And then we have to examine, what do they mean? Have we been following the rules of engagement? And the answer is no. And the rules of engagement are what we call human rules. What is human rights? What are human rights? The right of self-defense and self-determination. And we, as a people, have given up both rights. We've given up the human right of self-defense. And that takes us to the next area of all of our brothers and sisters who are in jail who supported us through self-defense. Those of the Black Liberation Army who said, I'm going to use the weapons that are used against me to defend myself, defend our people. They are in jail, they are political prisoners, and nobody has remembered them. And here we are, we have, of our population, I believe it is 1 in 4 of black people who are involved with the injustice system of our country on parole, probation, etc., in jail, you know. And this is because we don't obey the laws of existence, self-determination. Self-determination involves educating our children. Our children are out there. They don't know our history. They don't know their history. They don't know the history of this society because we have given that up, self-determination. Someone else determines what our children should learn. Our teachers are crying. They are being hurt. They are following false union leadership. And I'm going to skip ahead to what's happened with the 99% and the occupiers. When they occupied on the West Coast, they had a general strike. A successful General Strike 1. General Strike 2, the union leadership opposed it. They had it anyway. Wake up, teachers. Your union leadership has never taken a progressive position on any issue. When are you going to give them up? and join the community that you are working in for the human right of self-determination of community control. When are we, as a people, going to say we have a right of self-defense, and we are going to defend those who defended us with violence? Because I submit to you that nobody on the African continent signed a contract to say they were coming to a better land. They were enslaved by the force of arms. They were brought here. Nelson Mandela spent his time in jail because he refused to renounce violence in the struggle for liberation. And yet, here we are in America today, January 1st, 2012, when we allow those who say, I am nonviolent, to assume a mantle of superiority. No, that's inferiority, as Gandhi stated in his book. No, I am not telling people who have rifles to put them down, because God knows if we put down those rifles, the British will slaughter us all. All I am saying, and this is the words of Gandhi, is that those who are not able to pick up a rifle can do other things, can
involved
nonviolently. So now that has been transformed to say something else. No, it is not. We must support those who fought for our right of self-determination and self-defense. We must stop the police from having a duck shoot, shooting people, disappearing people with no consequence. We must give that up by supporting those who fought back, remembering who they are, where they are, and when people say, free them all, free our political prisoners, we must remember the miseducated youth, the uneducated youth, that we missed the boat. And when you say kids are not trained, that's a condemnation of adults. Why aren't they trained? Because we let them down. We must educate them. We must take control of our education. Teachers must accept responsibility for corrupt unions. They have to accept responsibility for unions that do not support them in their struggle to educate. And they must do it with a real action. And no, as Aaron Dottie Roy said, Americans get involved in actions that have no consequence to them or to the society that they are demonstrating against. We must end that. As Father Berrigan said to white Americans, listen, we complain about all of the people of color in jail. Therefore, we must fill up the jails with our bodies so that there will be no space for the people of color in the jails. So here we have examples of what must be done, and we're not doing it. So we must examine ourselves, because I never look at an oppressor. The oppressor's job is to oppress.
The corporation's
job is to keep doing what they do to us. They are all together on that. Now, we as the oppressed people must be together in actions that will stop them. You have given us an example. This thing on Whirlpool, they are hurting. Let us not forget, we must continue hurting them. Don't buy Whirlpool. Boycott. Use economic sanctions. Exercise your right of community control of the education of your children. Exercise the responsibility to support those brothers and sisters who fought in the 60s and lost the struggle for our protection, so that we wouldn't have any more bulldogs, so that the police would not walk around feeling that they could murder people with no consequence, that Miss Neal should not have to worry about her brother being killed with no consequence. There was an organization who did that, and we had so much criticism. Oh, just killing police doesn't mean anything. Well, it means the same thing as killing anybody anywhere. I oppose violence, and I oppose even greater doing nothing about violent acts against me and against our people. And so, therefore, we must re-examine ourselves, our approach to our oppression. And until we change that, I don't want to be visiting Lynn in jail next year discussing these same issues because we haven't changed a thing. I hope I have said something to the teachers. You must overthrow corrupt union leadership. The unions in this country are saying nothing about occupation of foreign countries. They say nothing about imperialism. All they speak about is my job. Well, give me a break. A union, the idea of a union is workers of the world, not just the workers who are my cousins and my brothers and my friends. And we went through that in America because, as you remember, if you're old enough to remember, we as people of color could not join unions. It was up until 1965. You couldn't even work for UPS.
That's
if
right.
You were black. You couldn't deliver a newspaper.
And
so this is
you got about 90 seconds. Why don't you tell us a little bit about Lynn?
Let me make the best of it. This is a result of a conversation I had with Lynn in Dallas in the Fort Worth Medical Center, Carswell Medical Center. She's there. And she says, Ralph, please talk with Reverend Pinckney and ask him to get involved in the solution of all of our people connected with the criminal injustice system that we are involved with. You know, we have to, one out of every four black families has somebody involved unjustly with this. And she told me about a story of a young woman who was taking drugs, and she bought some drugs, and she and her friend were using them, and her friend died of an overdose. She just got high. She's doing 30 years in jail for murder. That's a friend you bought. So she said, these cases must be dealt with. So February the 28th and 29th in New York City, we're going to have Occupy John Payne Park. That's right beside the courthouse to protest, to make people aware that we are aware of the injustices of the unjust system of law in America. That happens to be the day when Lynn Stewart's appeal is held. You know, on the 29th of February in a federal courthouse in New York City. So, yes, we're thinking about all of the people there, and let us rally and have support to let everybody know we understand perfectly the injustice system. We understand the injustice of the economic system. We understand the injustice of the military system we have here. We understand that great changes must take place, and we must be willing to do something, not just say something, although saying something is the first step. Feeling it in your heart is the first step. Saying something is the second step. And the third step is raising your fist against it. We must be out in Benton Harbor with you on the days you call for demonstrations. We must be in the places to demonstrate, to show that we understand what's going on and to say, we're not going to take it anymore. Thank you, Lynn Stewart. Thank you, Lynn Stewart. Thank you for all of you have done for justice over the past years, and looks forward to working with you in the future. Going to law schools, and I look forward to seeing you and Lynn walking in and out of law schools, educating these young lawyers to do the job that these old lawyers have not done.
I'm looking forward to it too, Ralph. Matter of fact, I tell you, before this year's out, I see some tremendous things that's happening. And I tell you one thing, you tell Lynn that we love her and we are so proud of her. And we're going to continue to push for her release. And I know that, you know, she's in there unjustly, and we come to fight. and we will do all the fighting we can for her, and she's always going to have a spot on this radio show. But on that note, I got to bring in Roz. Roz, you there?
Yes, I am.
You got a couple of minutes to say whatever your heart desires.
Okay, Ralph, you're fabulous. You should have been a lawyer. Anybody, anyone human being that is treated this way, it's a reflection on all of us.
Right.
And we all need to stand up, and we all need to help each other. It is so important. But we have God on our side, and everything that's done in darkness will surely come to light. And God is going to turn this around for us. And Reverend Pinckney, I say week after week that God has anointed you, and he is just going to bring blessings to you, and he's going to open doors, and he's going to bring people in, and this is going to get bigger and bigger. And God is just going to bless you. And there's going to be such changes because of you, because you had the guts and you weren't afraid to stand up. And we thank you so much. And on Thursday, please, everybody, if they would pray for me when I go, that I read the right reports here, because you have anybody going through a workers' comp case, you need to read everything. You need to make notes. You need to get all your papers together to refute, to correct everything that's been said. So I thank you for this, the opportunity to come on, and Mary, you're in my prayers, and everybody else. This is going to be a wonderful year, because we're
absolutely
all going to come together, no matter what color we are, what religious background we are going to win with God.
Absolutely. And I'm going to say this too, Roz, this is a golden opportunity, because even our listeners are increasing at a rate that I can't explain it. So you know that God got to be right in the middle of this. He got to be at the beginning of this, and he got to be at the end of this, because all we do is talk on this show. This is what I tell folks. It's just like having a conversation. That's all it is. And we want to educate the people about what's going on. And then one of the things that I say that has happened, and it may be the radio show itself, that we have neutralized Whirlpool. We have put them in such a compromising position that they have never been in before. They walk around here with a negative credit rating, a credit rating that's lower than the city of Benton Harbor. And I have to tell you, I don't know how low you can get to get something lower than Benton Harbor, but they have a credit rating that's lower than the city of Benton Harbor. They also, here's the thing, their stock is falling so fast that they don't know what to do. I'm looking for a hostile takeover to bring in some more of them guys. But the point is, I want to get rid of the Upton family. Fred Upton, U.S. Representative, the heir to Whirlpool. I want him out of here. I think we can find a way to neutralize them. But the point is, we got to do this together. Occupy, the PGA, May 23rd, we will do our death march. May 24th, 25th, and 26th is the big one. We expect people to come from all over. We have sent an invitation to Michael Moore, Ed Schultz, and Rachel Maddow. We're going to see who's going to accept our invitation and be there. But this is going to be something tremendous that we need to talk about. We need to get people going, and we got to understand this one thing. There's things happening not just here in the city of Benton Harbor. It's happening all over the country. It's that 1% that's controlling the 99%. And then you got those other folks who think they're part of the 1% or who's protecting the 1% and creating their own problem. See, what they're doing now, they're building an army for themselves, and they're building concentration camps for those who are not part of what they're trying to do, who are not protecting the 1%. This is what they're doing all over the country. Here's what we have to do. We have to stand up together. I don't care what color a person is. It don't make a difference. As long as you're a person, I can deal with you. And we're going to fight together, Mexican, Puerto Ricans, black, white, pink, yellow, orange. I don't care what you are. We're going to do this thing together. We're going to stand together, and we're going to beat this heathen down. And on that note, I want to bring back on Mary to clean it up. We got a couple of minutes, and we'll let Mary take it home.
All right, Reverend. Thank you so much. And you're right. We must stand together, people. It's not about race. It's not even about money. Because none of you listening unless, you know, I'm sure some of you listening, but most of us listening, you may be middle class, you may be upper middle class, but you do not have enough money to be in the 1%. If you're not in the billion-dollar league, I'm telling you that you do not have enough money to be with them because they are crushing the middle class. They are crushing us. And so it is about you. It is about what type of country you want this to be. As far as the military-industrial complex, the prison-industrial complex, they're all one. The prisoners make everything that the soldiers carry into battle except the weapons. They make their clothes, they make their boots, they make the canteens, they make the pits. So the people who own and operate these prisons, they have the military contracts to provide for them. And now who do they want in these military prisons? They want to build 5 concentration camps inside America for Americans. Therefore, you will no longer have freedom of speech. You will no longer have freedom of press. You will not be free at all. We already don't have real freedom, and we were near the point where we could have it, but we are losing. We are losing if we don't come together. We must unite, and let's support people who support us. Let's support Reverend Pinckney. Reverend Pinckney supports the people, so let's support him. He's talking about going to law schools and talking to lawyers. Let's make sure he has a budget to say to the young lawyers, come and work for the movement. Come and work for the people so that when people come up with cases like this, he won't have lawyers to give advice. This all takes money. You're spending money on these big churches and big cathedrals. You go to them with a problem, and all they say to you is, I'll pray for you. Go to Reverend Pinckney and equip him so that he will be in position to not just pray for you, but to fight for you. That is godly. The Bible says if a man comes to you and has needs, don't just say, I'll pray for you. Give him a cloak and give him food and then pray for it. But these churches have left that out. I'm not saying leave your church, but I'm just saying that Reverend Pinckney is after the order of Martin Luther King, and he is trying to give practical help to me. Do you know that these media will not cover our situation? These people that we have in office are against justice, and we need people like Reverend Pinckney who will use his voice in this time. He goes to courtrooms, and he sits there, and he tries to let people get justice. He lets people who have issues come on the air and air their issues before many in hopes that some of you will respond in a practical way. It's time to pray, but you know what? It's time for us to pray on our feet. It's time for us to pray on our feet and not, you know what the Bible says, when you stand praying. You know, God didn't tell you to do all this grumbling at these people. Their 1% is crushing us. And until we, you know what, you've got like 2,000 or 3,000 people who are crushing something like, what, 50 million? Right here in America.
That's it.
Ridiculous.
Mary, I think we just about to ran out of time, so hold that thought, and let me say this. Occupy the PGA in the city of Benton Harbor, starting May 23rd, 2012, to May 27th, 2012, in Benton Harbor. We're going to meet at City Hall. Be there. And on that note, we have just ran out of time. And I'm hoping to see everybody back next week. God bless y'all. Happy New Year's. And keep up the good work and keep up the fight, because we got to continue to fight whether we like it or not. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Happy
good night.
Year.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
God bless everybody.
Amen. Great job, everybody.
Thank you. Happy New
Year. Thank you.
All right, then.